Hey, this is Mike.
Hello, this is Dave.
Hi, it's Whitney.
Wit. Hey, or Wit, or Wit, and this is Matt, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Coil community. It's June, but you wouldn't know that in the UK because it's bloody cold. And today we're episode 162, and we've got Wit with us. Hello, Wit. How are you doing?
Doing well. It's the opposite here. It's humid and hot, but it's all good. It's Father's Day weekend, and I'm planning to spend my weekend with my dad. So good stuff here.
That sounds really good. Where is he, by the way?
Where is he? Oh, he's working right now.
But where is here? Where are you? Where are you?
Oh, here. Oh, I'm in North Carolina right now, but I'm actually in a process of slow process going back and forth, moving to New York, actually.
Oh, and okay.
I'll speak a little bit on that because my better half is also a huge fan and we're engaged.
Very good. Is that a new thing?
We got engaged last September, like September 31st. So it's ish.
So it still feels new. It's not like it's not like this week, but it's still not that far ago. Well, I haven't had a chance to congratulate you. So congratulations on your engagement.
Well, thank you.
And you can tell us a little bit more about the move into New York in a little while. Let's find out how the other guys are. So, Dave, how have you been? How are you, sir?
I'm all right. I've been indulging in hobbies, as always. So a little bit of Lego building recently.
What have you been building?
Actually, an American-style, underground train tunnel sort of setup, ready for
they call it the subway out there, mate. Marvel. Can't use underground, it's a subway.
Sorry, subway, yes. We want to set up a Marvel disaster hero.
Oh, yeah, okay. Like a diorama with
yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, fair enough. I always wonder, because you build so much Lego, and I'm sure you get, like, regular sets and stuff. Have you got, like, boxes and boxes and boxes of it, like, under desks and...
Yeah, I have. I've got a spare room full of it. The stuff I haven't built yet.
Just like...
I mean, you can see the chaos. That's what
my room is at the moment. So for those of you listening in, he's got a room with lots and lots of boxes on the floor of Lego. And do you buy sets of Lego, or do you buy, like, the bricks and make your own stuff? Is it like a...
Both. I buy a lot of sets, build them up. Some of the pretty ones I keep, like the buildings that I really like. Okay. Much of it then gets dismantled and I break all the pieces and use them into my own stuff.
There we go. Okay.
Secondhand as well.
Such as the power.
Pre-loved, you have to call it. Not secondhand.
Pre-loved. That just sounds so wrong. You've made that weird. I'm not quite sure I want to buy pre-loved Lego. Maybe I'm weird.
That kind of pre-loved is a different site.
That's not the kind of pre-loved that I'm looking for in my toys. Okay. All right. Mike, have you been building any Lego? What have you been up to?
No Lego. Just a bit of walking in the week after working many crazy hours.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You've been to Italy between this recording and the last one?
I'm going in 2 weeks' time. I'm going for 10 days, I think.
Okay.
9 days. I'm going to Poland whilst I'm there because I'm seeing Metallica in Poland.
Going to Hang Poland on.
Whilst you're there, you know, not in Italy.
Yeah. Just skip across to Warsaw for 4 days and back.
To be fair, I'm going to say that a few years ago when I was working in Poland, in Warsaw, I did go from, I ended a Friday at work and got on a plane from Warsaw and flew to Milan.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, yeah. And the weirdest part of that is because you was in the Eurozone. When I got off the plane, there was no passport control or anything like that. I just got off the plane and walked through the shopping centre and I thought, have I missed security? What's going on? It was the weirdest thing. Obviously, post-Brexit, we now have to go through, you know,
need another stamp.
Because we're not trusted anymore being horrible English people and stuff. But yeah. As for me, what have I been doing? What have you been doing? I didn't even do a Lego as well. For someone who has not built much Lego in for the last 40 years, anybody who's seen my Instagram will know that I think it was the last week I bought the Lord of the Rings Dark Tower of Sauron, and that's kind of in bits over there, and I'm kind of building it on I'm doing a bag a day, if you see what... Dave will know what I mean. That made it sound like it was drug abuse, but I'm doing a bag of Lego. So it's in bits. So it's just sitting over there at the moment. So I'm excited because Bridgerton's back. So I get my my Regency a kick. So yeah, a bit of Netflix and a bit of Lego is kind of my life at the moment, or it has been my life. So there we go. But anyway, we could probably talk like this for hours, and I would quite enjoy that. But we've got stuff to do. So today we are welcoming to the Empty Spiral podcast Whitney, or Wit to her friends. A fellow Quiller from, as we know, North Carolina. Firstly, welcome to the podcast, Whitney. How are you? And tell me, my first question, how did you get into Lacuna Coil?
I'm well, and I'm excited to say that I think it's just because I listen to so many different types of, like, genres of music growing. Really, in like, my dad listened to a lot of rock and Espanol, like Spanish rock. And then, like, I had cousins that listened to the same stuff that liked different metal and rock bands. And I'm like, hey, you should try listening to this and that. And then eventually, somehow, I was looking at a magazine here. It was like Gothic Beauty magazine. And then I looked at some of the bands that my cousins listened to, like Nightwish and like Children of Bodom and like Typo Negative and then Lacuna Coil. I'm like, hey, these names are familiar except this one. Lacuna Coil. Okay, so I bought that magazine and I started to listen to different things from that magazine, the reviews that were in there, and I guess it's sort of a nostalgic thing talking about those kinds of magazines because you don't really see that tangible thing anymore. Everything's so much more online now, where you discover, which of course I was sort of doing that online at the time. I'd say that was probably, I was like 15, 16 years old at the time of getting into searching stuff on the internet music wise. That wasn't easy, but the magazine was a great guide.
Yeah. Do you remember what the first song you listened to was? From the clinical.
I think it was Heaven's a Lie.
Of course. Okay. Yeah. And it is, I mean, whenever I speak to fellow Coilers, it's one of those things where we always remember our first time, we always remember our first song, right? So does Heaven's a Lie still bring you that sort of sense of nostalgia, or is it other parts of their music now that, you know, you gravitate towards?
I think it still has a sense of nostalgia. I mean, it definitely takes me back to the same feeling in a way of memories, you know, listening to that and then having cousins that liked some of the same music and were, and I had, everyone is so talented on my dad's side of the family. They can sing, they can play guitar, but I had this one cousin named Jonathan who was really like, I haven't been in touch with him in a long time, but he was really into rock and metal music at the time, and he was really good with guitar, and it reminds me of the times that I would hear him trying to pick and play some of their music, Heaven's a Lie especially. So it is nostalgic.
Nice. Do you remember the first time you saw them in concert? Because I know you've been to shows. So
yes, oh my gosh, I don't remember the exact year, but I know that cousin and I, we saw them within Temptation, and we went to South Carolina.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
That was the first time for me. And that was, I just don't remember the exact year, but I'm assuming it was Karma Code kind of.
Yeah. It was about right. Yeah. Would have been about right. Sort of 2007, 2008 onwards, I'm guessing. Sort of that kind of period of time. And do you have any kind of memories from the concert, from the, you know, first time seeing them, first time meeting them, that kind of thing?
Well, it's so funny because I was super like psyched. I was excited and I was just nervous too, because that was such a big experience. I haven't gone to a lot of concerts previously. Like, this was a big deal to me because, like, I've gone to local things here in my state as a child and with family, but then And then going to Mexico to see family do festivals and things, doing their own music. So seeing a band that I actually like live for the first time was, whoa, it's a huge like culture shock in a way, but it felt so good and also addicting. It's like, oh, I want more. I want to experience this more.
And have you seen them more since then? Do you go out of your way to see them? So obviously we met in New York.
Yes.
At the show there, gosh, that would have been 2022, so 2 years ago. But obviously we've spoken before then anyway. But have you been to many of their shows?
I think I could probably count on one hand, probably five times I've seen them live at least. So, and I think most recently, I'd say I got a little bit more into getting out, going to enjoy shows more, I'd say 2018, 2019. And I think I that was such a huge impact of actually going to that 119 show in New York. Like that was, wow. Such an impressive time for me.
That was a great show, wasn't it? I mean, there were two shows, wasn't there? Is it the Gramercy? Wasn't it? I think. And they were absolutely stunning shows. And then, of course, the pandemic hit, and we all shut ourselves in our houses for a couple of years. And then we have come out of the back of it, but it's a lot of things to digest, isn't there? And coming out the back of the pandemic and getting back into live music. And one thing I've noticed, that maybe it's just me, but the price of live music's gone up a lot since the pandemic. So that's suddenly quite a barrier to entry, because obviously not everybody's flush for cash, are they, right now? So going to see live music is not a challenge. So I know you as a very creative person, right? You know, follow Instagram, you've got Facebook groups. Tell me a little bit about the creative side of Wit and perhaps how that's been influenced by or relates to your love of Lacuna Coil.
Oh, wow. Okay. There's like pockets. How do I feel? But I guess I'll try to describe it. Is like, okay. Again, coming from a creative family, like just seeing that in my family, I was really into, okay, I want to find my own way of getting going. They inspire me to be creative. But then my cousin who got me into this kind of music in the first place. But also we have a love of like, of horror films, of films. We used to do our own like little filmmaking stuff together. And then eventually, like we would listen to music sort of in the background to get inspired to do little things. And I thought it was so cool that was one of the bands that we would kind of pick up on, like playing in the background. Like, okay, let's get a mood going here. We'll listen to this. And then eventually I would implement that into, I think a lot of people do this when they're creating. And David, I'm sure you get it. Like, it's just sort of like a meditative thing. Like if you're doing Lego work and you just want to have something in the background while you're painting, drawing, or getting in that groove in your mind to get creative. So it's like inspirational music there in that background. And
just to pick up on that, it's very interesting you say about the influence that the music you've got playing in the background has on how you interpret what you're creating yourself, but it's a different art form. So if it's drawing or it's painting, Lacuna Coil seem to do the exact reverse. They're watching horror films in the background, or they've got like a soundtrack, but they're picking up on a lot of the visuals and they're turning it into the music. So it's almost this circular inspiration.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if there's ever a filmmaker who listens to Lacuna Coil while he's making a film, and then they watch the film while they're making more Lacuna Coil music, and we just end up in this, dare I say, spiral. But that might be a bit too much of a cliche. Anyway, sorry, we interrupted you there. Go on. So, yeah, so influencing the artwork you're creating, basically.
Yeah, it was funny because, like, I'm more of a screenwriter under contract now. I can't talk a lot about about a lot of the things that I'm working on in that aspect. But previously, when I was doing like things that I can speak on, one thing that I really, we, I was with a group of friends and we were like, hey, we should do something based on folklore. Like, what's a big thing? And I'm like, well, Lacuna Coil did this song about Krampus. Krampus. And I made them listen to the song and we really got into it. So I wrote a micro short, like a micro short film. It was like maybe 2 minutes. It can be seen on YouTube. No, we didn't utilize that music because I didn't know about, I'm not going to mess with copyrights or even ask permission. But
Sure.
it did hire that short. And eventually it won, it was an award-winning micro short at a local film festival here. And
Wow.
so I was like, well, I guess I have to thank Lacuna Coil for having that kind of outlet with those filmmaking friends that I had at the time.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You'll have to post us the link so we can have a look at the film. I'd love to see it.
Absolutely.
Knowing the backstory of, how you were inspired to create it. So does that carry on today, that inspiration from Lacuna Coil?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's like I say, like it's a certain mood. It's something that I have to put on before I can actually, I can't. Here's one thing I can say I can't do. Like I can do it when I draw, paint, or start to like get a couple of ideas to write down. Well, once I really start writing, I have to shut the music off. I just have it in the background for ideas to kind of help things. But once I start really get into something that I'm really starting to work on within like my professional means, like, okay, music has to go off, everything has to be silent because now I have my notes, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. Although it does remind me, isn't it weird how depending on how we're thinking and how we're doing depends on our need for music or for silence. I don't know about anybody else, but if I'm driving, I want music on. But when I'm parking, I have to turn the music off. I don't know what that is. You
Different
put me in
level
a
of
car.
concentration.
You put me in a car park. I'm right. Now music comes down now, so I can reverse properly. That's the weirdest thing. I'm sure other people.
No, that is a genuine thing. It's like I turn it down because I need to see better.
Yes, exactly that.
Yes.
I've done my sketches, now turn it down because I need to draw better or whatever, or to write better. No, and I think it's a different, again, this is not going to turn into a psychology podcast, but I'm sure it's the way different parts of our brain need to operate in different ways. And that's when, a certain level of creativity require doesn't require, but is facilitated by the presence of music. But that gets to the point where we have to kind of, right, now I'm ready to write. So do you have a favorite song or a favorite album or both?
I'd say I'm wearing what this is my
Unleashed
favorite.
memories. Yeah.
So this is Comalize was the introduction, but Unleashed Memories is the favorite. That's why I wore this one today.
Nice. Nice. I applaud you. I applaud you for both wearing the t-shirt and loving Unleashed Memories. Do you have a particular song off that album that kind of really resonates with you? You consider not, I know it's hard to pick a favorite Lacuna Coil song, but if you had to pick one off of Unleashed Memories right now that made you go, yeah, that's my go-to, what would it be?
So this is so tough. Oh my gosh. Again, it kind of comes in moods. Maybe you guys feel that way. Like certain songs kind of hits you in a mood that's a favorite at the moment. But I think I definitely feel like, what was it, Sinsafina?
Yeah. It's a classic. It's a
So I think that one is special. A lot of them are special, but that's like just hearing someone speak in their native tongue, it hits the heart a certain way. Music's so universal, but when you're hearing someone like in their native tongue, it's like, oh, that's soul. That's
Yeah,
soul.
it always feels more personal, especially when you know that if they're singing in English, it's not their native tongue. So it's almost at that point you wonder if they're singing the song for someone else, but when they're singing it in the native song, it feels like they're singing it for themselves. Does that make sense?
Does yes it, they're representing themselves and that's incredibly special. They always do, they really do. But yes, the language, that's a huge special thing to see and hear, is some sharing culture. That's a big thing for me that I appreciate from people,
I
like
agree.
is that.
Completely agree, and I do wish they do a few more songs in Italian.
Me too.
Really do. I'm always trying to encourage him. Come on, just one an album more, you know, even just the chorus. Because when you get that love kind of, you know, juxtaposition between English and Italian lyrics in the context of one song, that can also be really nice as well, because it's like a really nice blend. We need to see what need to hear more of it, I should say. So my final question for you, until I think of another one. So you've obviously been a fan for some time. You've seen the band. They've influenced your art, etc. So what does being a Lacuna Core fan mean to you then, Whit?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with, okay, the relationships I've had with people in my life. My cousin Jonathan, again, being the big one.
Mm-hmm.
The time, you know, we were kids, we were having fun, making memories. And now I'm having this conversation with you guys, knowing that there's acquaintances and friends that are far but dear. And this is what means something to me about the band, is the connection that I have with people that I've never had with any other musician or band that I've listened to before. And it carried on into my personal life, because Joe, my guy, love of my life, he's freaking amazing as a beautiful person and talented person. He does amazing Lacuna Coil fan art and so many things. He's just, but Lacuna Coil gave me him, you
Aww.
Know?
You got to tell us that story. So come on then. So go on, tell us a bit more about Joe.
So in a way, yeah, we were friends prior to, like, when we were finding out. Okay, we already had followed each other online through, like, some horror forum that I used to be part of, Gruesome Magazine. And I used to do podcasting with them, doing horror reviews, classic films. And then he had followed me there. I noticed he did art. I followed his artwork. And we were friends, and we're like, oh, this is great artwork. Oh, you love Lacuna Coil too? This is incredible, Joey. Like, you do amazing artwork of Christina. But one time I forgot, and this is a funny, we started talking more, a little bit more after finding this out. And then there was one time when he did a pumpkin carving. I think it was the first pumpkin carving. And people were commenting when it was shared, like, that's fake, that's CGI. And I'm like, no. I've seen this guy's art. He does this. And then Joey's like, you really defended me. You went to bat for me. I'm like, yeah, you're my buddy, you're my pal, but now I'm in love with him.
Oh, that's lovely. That's so cool. That is so, so cool. Well, it's lovely when people meet like that, but people come together over a shared interest, and then it kind of love blossoms from that. So well done to both of you. That's a lovely story to hear. That really is. And what I love is that that's not unique in the Lacuna Coil community. It really isn't. I think there is such a sense of family, which we've mentioned before. You know, there are a number of people that have met and found really deep, lasting relationships, whether it's deep friendships or whether it's more, as a consequence of the community. And I think we definitely have the band to give us that really strong foundation from which we can connect with each other, right? That's lovely.
Mm.
Brilliant. Well, I'm kind of all out of questions, but it's lovely to have you here on the podcast with us. And we're about to go into our review. I'd love it if you stayed. You don't have to. It's not like we're tying you down or anything. If you don't want to stay, you don't need to. But we'd love you to stay and join us as we do our review of Ghost Woman and Hunter XX.
I'd love to stay.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you very much, Whit. And we'll see you on the other side, shall we say. Speaking of which, right, it is now time to do our review. We are reviewing The Ghost Woman and The Hunter XX from Comalize XX, whereas we continue to plow our way, plunge headfirst into this album. And I guess in many respects, compare the songs to their original. Now, we first reviewed this song on episode 45 of the Empty Spiral podcast, which was in November 2013, which is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And I'm not going to share what we thought, what we said of it, until we've had a chance to talk it through, and then I'll kind of we'll talk about what numbers we gave them and think about what numbers we're going to give now. So I'm going to start with Mike. Mike, give me your thoughts on The Ghost Woman and The Hunter XX. What do you think of this one?
Pure perfection. I think there's a running theme with everything. With this, it's more jazzed up, yet very similar to the past, I think, is how I would sum it up.
Right.
I don't have that much to say about it, really, other than I love it very much.
Interesting. If I was to say to you that back in 2013 you gave the original song 6 out of 10, what would you say to that?
I would say that's very interesting, because I think that it wasn't my favorite at the time on Coma Lies, but how they've reworked this now, and especially going to the live shows and hearing it live a few times, it puts a different spin on all of it completely for me.
Interesting. Is it because it's heavier, or is there another aspect
to
it?
Yeah, I think it's heavier, and it's more, I don't know whether clean is the right word, or how they've developed it and developed as musicians, that I think it's a full circle of completion of how almost an upgrade, but still a link to the past with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
It's a funny one, not to say it's like I really, really think it's amazing, but I could understand that people might think it's 4 out of 10. It's like Marmite.
Like Marmite, he says. It's a classic English expression of like Marmite. Yes. And I'll come on to you, Davey, in a moment, actually, because he's probably going to give it a 2 out of 10 or something.
That's what I mean,
So are there any sort of particular aspects of the new version of the song that stand out for you? I mean, it's about the same length. You know, there's literally 3 seconds in it. You know, actually, the original's slightly shorter. But if you don't mind me saying, it feels a lot longer, which I'll come on to when I give my own commentary. Is there anything in the new version that kind of go, okay, that makes this hum as a song?
I just think all of it, because I think the whole vibe of it, it's hard to describe it, really. I just think the whole overall vibe of it is better. But it's like comparing apples to oranges, isn't it? Comparing stuff with the past. I know there's an...
I'm not quite sure I say apples to oranges. It's different, maybe different types of apples, maybe.
Yes.
Fair enough. All right, so you've clearly have quite a different view of this song over its original. That's really interesting to hear. Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, your thoughts? 2 out of 10, can't stand it.
Moving almost on. Trepidation in your question, man. Like, what's he going to say?
No, not at all.
I can skip straight to the spoiler and give it the 10 now.
Whoa, spoiler? We got to keep...
because outpouring of love will be obvious.
Well, let's hear it. I like a good outpouring of love.
It's beyond beautiful.
Wow.
A quick word on the original. And I think Mike's original score perhaps reflects this, that I always found it in danger of being too much of a slow burner. And there was always a risk of it being forgotten, brushed aside, sort of put on the B pile. It didn't seem to have a great enough identity like many of the other songs. What they've done for the XX version is to correct that mistake. If it is, well, it wasn't really a mistake, but they've perhaps noticed this, and somehow they've breathed such new life into it. This is possibly the standout track on the entire album.
Wow, it's got a big statement.
I know. Before, you know, there's been other massive, massive songs, really, really good improvements that they've managed on other songs, but this one, personally, I feel beyond all others, has achieved a greater emotion. And this is what I love more than anything about it. Mike said about a different vibe. The vibe I get is a deep emotion, a real connection. Lyrically, I think there's been an argument that it could be about relationships. But for me, it's a cut and dry about death. I see it as a search for a loss that can't be reclaimed. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I can't remember what I said about it. Because we talked quite a lot, I recall, about the lyrics and what it was about. And we were back in 2013. I've not listened to that part of the podcast. But I agree with you. This is not about the breakdown of a relationship. Or if it is, it's about the fundamental barrier between life and death, you know, sort of someone being held in their arms as the other person's dying and so forth. That's how it feels to me. Almost, anyway.
Yes, like the separation of the spirits when you're moving on. You'll never be a part of physical parts. It's a different kind of connection, a changing connection between the two parties. But it's all about the chorus. It's this huge, huge chorus that wrenches at your soul. It just literally grabs you, clings onto your soul, and it's just doing this.
How do you explain the title?
The title?
Yeah.
I don't know, actually. I suppose, being obvious about it, the ghost woman is the spirit side, the hunter being the person left on Earth searching for that lost spirit, or hoping that the spirit is still there in some form. They are hunting for that connection, I suppose.
I think that's true. What's really interesting, and it's all coming back now, I remember Russ, when he gave his view, saying that he actually thought, because it's a Christina only song and it's called The Ghost Woman, he took the view that it's not the person that's alive talking about the person that's died, it's about that it's the song of the ghost talking about the living person who's moved on from her death. Do you see what I mean?
Well you can work both ways.
I thought that was a really, really fascinating kind of, you're moving on, you're going away to live the rest of your life, and I'm stuck in the ghost world as a incorporeal spirit or something.
Yeah.
Fascinating song. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting you say about the Christina solo, because she does still have that self-harmonizing part. It's very, very low in the mix. What I think perhaps could have given it 11 to make it even better.
Breaking maths. Go on.
But not having Andy do a clean vocal as a part harmony on the chorus, I think that perhaps a missed opportunity. I would like to have heard that.
We said that on the original one. I actually said on my review that I felt like this song needed a bit of Andrea in it. But there we go. Okay, fascinating.
Great guitar solo as well.
Oh yes, that's what we do get. We get a lovely, lovely guitar solo, and
really,
I'll come
really
on. Yeah, and there's a bit after which I'll talk about in a minute. Okay, really, really interesting. I kind of wanted to draw a little bit more out of you, Dave, because I know you didn't have a chance to talk about the original. Obviously, Mike did all those years ago, but I wanted to kind of get your sense of it. So, didn't have identity, now does, is my kind of take.
It should have been a huge single. I mean, the fact that it didn't get its own video and promoted as a single, I think, is a travesty.
Interesting.
Epic sent to people.
There we go. Whit, your thoughts on The Ghost Woman and The Hunter XX?
Well, I have to agree with you guys, I'm to echo the same response. I love the original. I think it's beautiful. It's very haunting. And I love what David said about, being a ghost, being trapped, and then there's this sense of mourning. I feel that, and I always thought about that too with the song. But hearing the XX version, it's like, oh wow, the instrumentals have really, they're crisp. The guitar solo was great. Also at the beginning, it's like, hear the drums more prominent. And I think that's really great to hear that a little bit more. It just sounds, I'm not saying it's better. Love the original. It's beautiful, but I feel like there's something more crisp about the instrumentals. And it's such a beautiful piece. It's so haunting.
Yeah, it's a very sad song. I mean, you said it, Dave. Yeah, it's very sad. Do you have a preference between the two? I know you said they're both beautiful. Would you compare this better, worse, or do you listen to them on different days, in different times? What would you say?
I would say it's a mood. Like I would definitely say some days I feel like, okay, I'm more in the mood for hearing more instrumental, more crisp new sound, and then I'll just go to that. And then other days I'm like, oh, I like the atmosphere of the original. Mm. I gotta hear that repetition of that, of her voice where she's saying and doing those lyrics where, you know, and I've gotta be moving on. That those lyrics, and I feel like there's a little bit more of that in the first one with her vocals, and that hearing that, I just feel it just depends on which atmosphere do I want to place myself in. But I think
it's lovely to have that choice, isn't it?
It's really I can definitely say that. I can't say I favor one over the other. It's just a mood. What do I want to hear today?
And that's fair enough. That's fair enough. My own thoughts on this. So, well, I will start off by admitting that I gave this, the original, a 6 out of 10. All right. And I said, it's in danger of being skippable.
Mm.
It's a good song. But I felt at the time it needed some Andrea in it. But I was of the view that every Lacuna Core song needs that kind of lyrical juxtaposition between, or that tonal juxtaposition between Christina and Andrea. I don't think that's true everywhere, but I certainly felt that for this one. I also said that it was a really sad song, and I still think this is a really sad song for all the reasons that we've alluded to, you know, being about death, that the barrier, the veil between life and death, and, you know, how we can't cross it and how we lose loved ones through it. So it's contextually, it's a really, really haunting song. Beautiful, beautiful song. Nothing particularly complicated, but the lyrics just resonate, don't they? There's that kind of separation. What I like about this is I think of all the songs I've heard so far on Come and Eyes XX, this is the song which shows their maturity, how they've grown as song creators in the last 20 years. Because although there was nothing immature about, he's holding something up on screen. I can't quite read it.
Yeah,
maturity. He wrote it down. Yeah. Although there's nothing immature about Ghost Woman and the Hunter on Criminalize XX, by comparison to this version, it feels like an immature song. That is to say that there are the things that maybe are a little bit too long, like the intro's a bit too long. Okay, there's beats in it which are a bit too long. It's still a lovely song, but this has got more character. It knows itself. It's got a stronger identity. It cuts to where it needs to cut to. It's almost like they've gone through the song and say, what are the really good bits in this song? Right, let's emphasize them and either cut out or de-emphasize the other stuff. Right, it feels like it's had a good editor, shall we say. Like someone's waffled writing a book and they've kind of gone scratch that bit out and make that bit more punchy. I really like the guitar solo in it. But what I like even more about the guitar solo, because the guitar solo maintains the theme that runs through the song, but there's this slow part, like a kind of, I guess, an instrumental part that's after the guitar solo. And it really eases down on the song. And what that does, the final reprise, the final verse that comes out, it might even be the final chorus, to be fair, has got space. It gives that final bit of the song space to be separate from the others, and it increases the impact. That reprise is really quite impactful. It doesn't do like some of their other songs, like Layers of Time does, where it changes the tone completely and then brings it back. But it does give it space to breathe, and I really like that. Again, it shows a level of maturity, I think. I also think that overall, even though it's technically longer than it's longer by only 3 seconds, but the first version feels too long. This one doesn't outstay its welcome at all. I'm more than happy to spend 4 minutes and 12 seconds listening to the XX version, and by 3.5 minutes into the original, I'm kind of going, it feels like it should have ended by now. And I want to make it really clear. I don't think the original's a bad song. I really don't. And I actually have warmed to it. When I listened again today to the podcast and kind of went, I gave it a 6 out of 10. Whoa, that's pretty brutal. Really? Did I really do that? I feel like I should have given it more. But actually, on reflection, I think that wasn't a bad number. I definitely give it more now. Overall, my takeaways from this is that, firstly, and we've said it a couple of times in the podcast, songs can change over time and how you feel about them. I love what you said there about it being a mood, and you can definitely listen to these songs for different moods. And I will tell you this right now. I don't think I listen to XX any more or any less than I listen to the original. I still listen to the original. And in some ways, actually, there should be a strong argument there that they're the same score. But I look for different things from them, and I think the new one is much punchier. It's got its own personality. It doesn't get lost in the sort of the second half of Coma Lies and feel like it's a skippable song. I don't think it's perfect, but I think it's absolutely showed an increased level of maturity in song construction from the band. And it's kind of definitely punching above the original weight it was given back when the first was created, if you see what I mean. They've definitely done something with this song. Not changed it dramatically, but given it identity. And for that reason, I think it's so much better. Dave, your score on ten, of course. Yeah. Sorry, duh. Spoilers. Mike, what about you?
A tough one now, because the original was 6. I'm not going to say it's a 10.
But you can. You see, you started off by saying it's pure perfection. So
yeah, it's pure perfection. But I'm looking further down the album. There are more big hitters than this, I think. 9.5. Well, there we go.
Yeah, that felt like you were forced to give a not 10 by your own. Okay. So 9.5. All right, he says. What about you? What would you give this, the new version of Ghost Woman and the Hunter?
I have to agree with Mike. I mean, because I have a love for so many others. This is so close, but it is a 9.5. I mean, it's beautiful. It's haunting. The mood, it's great. But there's so many others like that has a different feeling. Like having that mourning and grief in this is, you know, is raw and real. Mm. But they have so many songs that are raw and real that have a different set of emotion that just gets in the deep. That's and true. This is close, but it's like Mike said, it is a 9.5 for me.
9.5 out of 10. Okay, well, I'll get that. I don't know, probably the most controversial one. I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10. Okay. And I'm going to stand by that. And you're not going to convince me to get to a 10 like you did last week. No way. This is definitely a 9 out of 10. And given that I gave the original 6 out of 10, I think that is a substantial difference. And this now is no longer a skippable or close to being a skippable song. On Coma Lies XX, this is now a strong contender as one of the highlights of the album, and I hope the score reflects that. So wow, there we go. Thank you for Lacuna Coil for upping your game on this one, right? You know, we've got quite a few steps, and now it's clearly considered by pretty much all of us as being a highlight on the new interpretation of Coma Lies. So they've got to take pride in that, right? They've done good on by the Ghost Woman and the Hunter, whichever one of them is dead, and whichever one of them is mourning, they're both in a better place than they were all those years ago. So right, we're done. We are at the end of another podcast. Time flies when you're having fun with friends, as they say. Thank you so much, Whit, for joining us today. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed hanging out with us and chatting, because I know I have, and from the smile on the other guys, I can tell they have too. Yeah. I really, really appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate all of you, Matt, David, Mike. This has been, it's been an honor, and I'm not kidding. It's so nice to see your faces and to have this conversation. It means a lot. It's great. I love this moment. Thanks so much.
You're more than welcome. If you want to come on again, just let us know. Send me a message or something and say, can I join? And we'll just pop along. We're friendly. We don't bite. Well, Mike does, but we take his teeth out. So. But no, we're welcome to join us anytime you want. Okay. And it was a delight to have you here.
Oh, thank you.
You're more than welcome. And for everybody else, if you if you want to join us on the podcast, just reach out to us, right? You know, this is a community podcast. It's for all Lacuna Core fans. If you're a Lacuna Core fan and you want to talk about your experiences, you want to talk about how you got into the band, how they inspire you, or really any other subject relating to our favorite Italian band, then please, please, please reach out, because we really want to hear from you. For everything else, you can connect with us at www.emptyspiral.net, and you'll also find us on Facebook. And I logged into X today, but I logged out quickly, so I didn't want to get dirty or anything. So but we're, you know, you'll find us around. There's an active community on our Discord server, and there's lots of people chatting on Instagram as well. So we're across a number of platforms, and we look forward to hearing from you. And as a reminder, irrespective of what you do for the rest of your day, I should say, do make sure that you listen to more Lacuna Call. And I will speak to you all very, very soon.
Cheers, everyone.
So long, farewell.
Adios, muchachos.